Welcome to the Tell Me Something Good podcast. Ranked by the International Association of Awesome Podcasts as the best podcast in the history of podcasts. Wait, is that a thing? I don't think that's a thing. Anyway. Seeking to shine a light on all that is good in an ever-darkening world of negativity. Here's your host, Clint Swindoll.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast, the show that is all about building a more positive world by overcoming negativity. It is my goal to engage your mind, encourage your heart, or enlighten your soul. Welcome back to Tell Me Something Good. This is episode 35 of the podcast, brought to you by 13 Stories Publishing, a small independent book publisher. Not only did they publish my just-released Tell Me Something Good pocketbook, they have a wide selection of books from many genres available on their website at 13storiespublishing.com. While there may be some people who only want audiobooks or ebooks, there is a slew of people who still like to hold a book in their hands. If you're one of them, check them out at 13storiespublishing.com. This past Friday, I shared on the Champagne Friday edition of the podcast the exciting news that I finally got on an airplane to do a live event in Denver. With everything happening in the virtual world because of COVID-19, I hadn't been in front of a live audience since February. Although it wasn't a big audience since hundreds were on the live stream, these were real-life, breathing humans. It was awesome. I travel through Denver a lot in a normal year since I fly United Airlines and Denver is a hub. I have my favorite shoeshine stand that I stop at on each layover. So I stopped for a quick shine before I left the airport. After 8 months, these shoes needed a shine, and it gave me the opportunity to chat with a shoeshine person while giving them some much-needed business. I like to use the same person each time, and for me, it's a lady named Tracy. After a long overdue, socially distanced greeting, I asked her how business had been, recognizing that planes were still flying and my flight from San Antonio had been 100% full and there were quite a few travelers in the Denver airport. She said that while business was certainly down, they had reduced the number of shoeshine professionals in the airport. In a normal year, they would have had 40 employees. That number has been reduced to 8 for the entire airport. She said the biggest issue for the 20% of remaining shoeshiners was the fact that most of the people traveling aren't business customers. They're the biggest part of their client base. Not many casual travelers are getting their casual shoe shined. She said that despite the reduced business, she was trying her best to stay positive. I asked her about her options, if she had some other things to consider. Like what, she asked. I said, well, I don't know. How about going back to school while things are slow? Oh, no one in my family has ever gone to college, so that's not really an option. I said, well, what about figuring out how to start your own shoeshine stand on the other side of the pandemic so you don't have to work for someone else? I'll never have enough money to start my own business, she said. Besides, I would spend all my time working if I started my own business, and I wouldn't be able to spend time with my family. We spent a little more time chatting before she finished my shoes, and I headed off to jump in an Uber. As I settled in for the ride to the hotel, I couldn't help but think about my conversation with her. I thought about her responses to my questions, and I realized she is paralyzed by her limiting beliefs. She was convinced she couldn't go to college because no one in her family had gone to college. What? She was convinced she couldn't start a business because it would take too much time and because she would never have enough money. As I think about 2020 and all the things the global pandemic has taught me, I realize that time truly is a gift, and that if there is something you've always wanted to do, now is the time to get busy doing it. If you have a desire to try new things or to do great things impacting people in a big way, now is the time to get busy doing it. Sadly, in order to achieve great things, or quite frankly, even just to pursue a goal, you need actions and the belief you can realize the goal. Too often we see people hold back on doing what they really want because of limiting beliefs, beliefs that often don't even come from ourselves. We've been conditioned by other people and our past experiences. So, where do these limiting beliefs come from? Well, several places. One, family. While most of our family means well, many of our limiting beliefs come from those we grew up around. Maybe your dad told you that you couldn't run track in high school because you're too heavy. So now you believe that you could never be a runner and do a 5K since it's now in your subconscious. Like Tracy, maybe your mom or an aunt said that no one in your family ever went to college, so you believe it's not a possibility for you. Maybe you grew up in a lifestyle that was economically challenged, so you decided that having money was impossible for you, or maybe even that it was bad. Not one single example I just gave included a family member with evil intentions to limit your beliefs. However, these ideas get planted in our head and often determine our willingness to pursue great things all throughout our lives. Two, our friends. Much like our families, friends can do and say things that lead us to believe we're less capable than we are. Keep in mind that many of our quote-unquote friends don't want to see others do a lot better than they themselves are doing. Also, other people tend to unintentionally push their limiting beliefs on others. Three, teachers. Teachers can have a lot of influence over us. When we're younger, they're almost like parents. Later, they're almost like our boss. Teachers are people too. Some of them have their stuff together and some do not. And this one is a big one for me. When I was in college, I took a public speaking class. I knew in college I wanted to speak for a living, so I thought I would take a class to see what I could learn. At the time, I was the president of the student body, and I was dealing with a tenured professor who was telling racist jokes in his classroom. I was told nothing could be done to stop it because he had tenure. Given the opportunity to give a persuasive speech in my public speaking class, I delivered a speech entitled, "Why We Should Never Give Tenure to University Professors," to a class led by a tenured professor. While I knew it at the time, I didn't care. Needless to say, it didn't go over very well. At the end of the semester, the professor asked what everyone planned to do after graduation. I told her I planned to be a professional speaker. She looked at me and said, "You should find something else to do." She said that I wasn't good enough. Now, I suppose I could have allowed that to become a limiting belief. After all, she was a university professor in a position of authority with a lot of experience. I chose to ignore her assessment. I've now been speaking professionally for nearly 25 years, 20 years with my current company, Verbalocity. I have traveled the world as a speaker and have delivered well over 1,000 speeches and traveled well over 1,000,000 miles. "You should probably find something else to do." Years ago, prior to her retirement, I sent her my promotional packet. I never heard a word from her. Don't let somebody's opinion of you become your reality. And four, just life in general. Other people try something and fail, and we assume we will too. We read something in a book or read something online that says people that look like us shouldn't achieve something, and we believe it. Look, I'm not a psychologist. I can't fix someone's deep-rooted issue related to limiting beliefs. What I can do is encourage you to recognize that much of what is holding you back from enjoying the level of success you want just may be coming from a limiting belief. If there's something you want to do that you're not trying, ask yourself why. If it's a legitimate reason, like a lack of financial resources or other things about your life you can't change, like moving across the country, I get it. But if it's something you have convinced yourself you can't do because someone else has planted that seed in your head, recognize that it just might be a limiting belief that simply isn't true. These beliefs have profound negative consequences, and eliminating them is one of the best things we can do for ourselves. By examining those beliefs and asking ourselves some key questions, we can't eliminate them. Unless we've experienced something numerous times or we have the advice of an expert, we don't really have the knowledge to make accurate judgments about something. Be selective about whom you believe. By systematically going through all of your limiting beliefs, it's possible to dramatically improve your life. Always remember that new limiting beliefs will occur over time, and it's important to check yourself for those new limiting beliefs. Life can be relatively easy and simple. Deal with your mental obstacles, like limiting beliefs, and you'll see those are the biggest obstacles you have.
You're listening to Tell Me Something Good with Clint Swindoll.
I spoke to a friend last week who said he's taken a break from social media. He said the amount of complaining about the elections on his feed was more than he could handle. I have to admit, it kind of wore me out as well. As I looked through all the crud of constant complaining and excessive pessimism on my feed, I went in search of the humor. There is no way I would ever take a break from social media because that's a main source of content for me. When I find something valuable, I share it in this segment called
What Are They B***ing About Now?
I had a guy on my Facebook page complaining about how he is wasting too much time lately. He said he had so much to do, yet he was frustrated because he can't stop wasting time. He was on social media, wasting time, complaining about wasting time. Oh, the irony. My friends, we all waste more time each day than we'd probably like to admit. In this day of technology at our fingertips, we have a lot of distractions that fit the bill of a perfect distraction. Time wasters are mostly just habits that provide little to no meaningful reward for the time invested. But we like them. After I read that post, I got to thinking about what I do to waste time. Here's what I found. 1. Clutter. Clutter is a huge time waster. It's hard to find the things you need when everything is cluttered and you waste time trying to find stuff. It's emotionally stressful, too. I spent the weekend organizing my office. For the past 8 months, I have been working out of the studio we built for producing virtual presentations. I'm moving back into my office this week, and it was pretty disorganized after 8 months of just dropping stuff on my desk. I would have wasted an enormous amount of time dealing with the clutter, so I spent several hours decluttering the office so I won't find myself wasting time trying to find things when I move back in. What in your life is full of clutter that is causing you to waste time? 2. Perfectionism. I waste so much time trying to get things just right. I despise the phrase, good enough. That phrase sounds like mediocrity to me. I don't want things, quote-unquote, good enough. I want things the best they can be. Sadly, it leads me down the road to perfectionism. As much as I hate to admit it, I waste a lot of time redoing things in pursuit of perfectionism. Perfectionism is an impossible goal and requires far more time than it's worth. 3. Electronic devices. Technology is one of the best things to increase our productivity. At the same time, it is a major source of distraction and a huge time waster. If you don't believe me, just take a look at the amount of screen time you had last week and tell me a big chunk of that time wasn't made up of things that wasted your time. 4. Indecision. There are several things I need to be working on at this very minute. What I realize is there are a couple different directions I can take a few of these projects. Since they are things I've never done, I'm trying to decide the best route. Sadly, my indecision is resulting in wasting time. At some point, we just need to make a decision and go. And 5, no deadlines. I have found that the best thing I can have in my life to enhance my productivity and lessen wasting time is a deadline. As long as I have a target, I'll push all the other stuff to the side and get it done. I may even wait to the end to get it done and meet the deadline, but I won't let the typical time wasters get in the way. Consider all the meaningful things you could accomplish if you stopped wasting time. Think about how much time you spend each week on unproductive activities. Get rid of these time wasters and get some stuff done. While I find all kinds of things people complain about in social media, I always enjoy reading the good news people share. Anniversaries, new job assignments, good health updates. In this world of bad stuff we live in, we need to hear some good stuff. Each week I go in search of some good news. You could find it too if you went looking. I figure I'll save you some time by sharing it here in this segment called
Good News from Around the World.
Ricardo Pimentel may not have had an arc to ride out the storm, but he's being hailed as something of a modern-day Noah nonetheless. As deadly Hurricane Delta bore down on Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, tearing a path of destruction directly to his door, Pimentel herded hundreds of animals, including more than 300 dogs, numerous rabbits, chickens, and even a hedgehog, inside his home to shelter them from the storm. A flock of sheep huddled for safety under the patio as well. Although his house took a beating inside and out, the entire group survived. "It doesn't matter if the house is dirty, it can be clean," Pimentel told a reporter. "The things they broke can be fixed or bought again. But what's beautiful is to see them happy, healthy, and safe, without wounds and with the possibility of being adopted." Pimentel's actions were no surprise to those who know him. The home he shares with his family serves as the hub of Tierra de Animales, Land of Animals, the 10-year-old animal sanctuary he founded about 20 miles southwest of Cancun. Knowing supplies might be hard to come by prior to the storm, Pimentel posted to social media about his concerns for the welfare of his flock. As Delta raged, he also posted pictures from inside his house, which looked like a real-life version of 101 Dalmatians, times three. Once Delta had passed, with so many mouths to feed and a major post-storm cleanup underway, Pimentel didn't realize his post had gone viral until donations from around the world started pouring in. Not only that, neighbors soon arrived in the aftermath of the hurricane to help clear debris and rebuild the sanctuary. While he was awed by the generosity of donors and volunteers, Pimentel hopes this moment in the spotlight will serve a larger purpose, helping him find forever homes for some of his rescues so he'll be able to save even more. We would like to think that thanks to all this attention, somebody would like to be a part of the story and say, "I adopted a dog saved from that famous Hurricane Delta," he explained. The storm may be over, but Pimentel continues to walk the walk, a living testament to the sanctuary's motto, "Leave footprints of kindness for others to follow." And then there's this. When a South Carolina couple recently sold what had been their dream house, they were sure they had tied up all the loose ends before the sale. Repairs had been made, the paperwork was all in order, and they had removed their belongings from the house in which they had spent the last 32 years. Or so they thought. A few days after the sale was finalized, James and Clarissa Munford discovered a literal treasure, which the former owners had hidden and forgotten all about, 50 gold and silver coins. Legally, the coins, valued at about $15,000, were now the Munfords' property, and they were well within their rights to quietly sell them and pocket the profits. However, the Munfords, who own Clarissa's Kitchen and Catering in Columbia, chose to contact the sellers and return the coins, which had been left inside a built-in drawer in the home. "There is an old saying, 'You reap what you sow,'" said the original owner, who was astonished. "My wife and I spent a great deal of time and effort to ensure that we left our home in excellent condition for the Munfords, and one good deed was certainly returned by another." The sellers of the home in Irmo prefer to remain anonymous, but said they wanted to share this story to bring hope and inspiration to others during these difficult and divisive times. Now is a good time to pause and reflect about how we treat each other. If there were more people like the Munfords, This world would be a much better place, he said. Indeed, it would. And that, my friends, is some good news from around the world. Before I end this episode with a challenge, I want to share with you that this episode has been brought to you in part by South Texas Barbecue Emporium. As this virus continues to limit access to restaurants and public places, we have more opportunity to do some cooking at home. Spice up what you're cooking for your family by checking out their lineup of some of the nation's best spices, rubs, and marinades. Impress your family and friends with ingredients you can't find in most grocery stores. Check them out at SouthTexasBBQEmporium.com. And now the challenge. Before you come back for the next episode, I challenge you to identify your top two time wasters. Most of us don't have enough time to get everything done that we need to do. Perhaps if we eliminated a couple time wasters, we could get more done. Jump back and listen to the list I gave you and identify two you could work on to find some more time. You will be amazed at how simple it can be. Well, that's about it, folks. Come join me on Friday when I'll jump back in here with a special episode of Champagne Friday, just as I do every Friday. Come join us for a quick reminder of our need to celebrate the good stuff. Then commit to joining me next Tuesday for another full episode of the Tell Me Something Good podcast. And hey, do me a favor, subscribe to the podcast. When you do, you'll get a reminder about the next episode so you won't miss it. One less thing for you to remember. Thanks for listening. Until next week, I'll be praying for God to bless you in mighty ways. Now, get out there and love on somebody.
You've been listening to the Tell Me Something Good podcast. The content of the podcast is meant to engage, encourage, and enlighten you to become more positive. It's not meant to diagnose, treat, or replace the personalized care provided by a trained professional. If you're struggling with depression or mental health issues, please reach out to a counselor for diagnosis and treatment. Until next time, be positive, people.